Does money have any built-in spiritual properties?
Money has the properties that it is assigned. Money has the properties that it is assigned by those who use it. Because it is used by everyone, or nearly everyone, it has a collective consciousness state associated with it. And that's why often money ends up being considered low vibrational, or considered negative, or considered all these things. And oftentimes the way it is moving in your society is that way. Because if you take the lowest common vibrational denominator, that can be pretty low. And because people attach so much fear and survival and anxiety and worry around money and the way money is used and the way money moves in their lives, it can leave people feeling like money has a life of its own and has an energetic of its own. In the most healthy relationship to money, it's pieces of paper that have been designated as modicum of exchange. In the most unhealthy relationship to money, it's a force that controls you. And people run on a spectrum between those two states. So this question can be answered many different ways depending on who's asking it. What we hope to do during this talk is help people move closer to recognizing that it's a means of exchange rather than a force that controls.
Would a soul ever desire to experience lack and poverty as part of soul growth?
Souls desire to experience every single thing that's experienceable. So the short answer is yes. And the longer answer is that poverty and lack are not only experienced in relation to money, they're experienced in relation to love, in relation to almost anything you name. So the study of not having is as valid as a soul study as the study of having. And there are certain things that you desperately desire to be in lack of. Cancer, illness, right? Those are perfect examples. Every person that we meet wants to be in lack of cancer. So the state of lack isn't even inherently wrong or bad. The state of lack is a relationship. It's a relationship. And like all relationships, it has to be monitored, has to be worked with. You are relating to the perception that less is wrong. And certain things it's really good to have less of. This is a really good example of how you all, as a society, tend to deal with body mass, weight. Some people are thin and can't gain weight. Some people are heavy and can't lose weight. So even to say that, you know, around lack of being able to lose weight or lack of being able to gain weight, there are individuals who are on both sides of that coin. It's very, very easy to look at your world as not providing you with what you want. The challenge of the light worker is to take those situations where you have preconceived notions that this means something wrong or bad, not having the amount of money you want, not weighing the amount you wish, etc., and seeing it as an opportunity for growth, not an opportunity for feeling loss, lack, failure. And that's what we work with, right? That process of moving from one perspective that society reinforces into a perspective that reinforces you actually enjoying your life.
How can I break the equal sign between money and time, money and happiness, etc., without going into money sucks?
It's a very interesting question, because when you ask a question based in duality, which this question is a very, very good example of a duality-based question, right? It's this or that. It's this or that. It's this or that. Or it's that. And when you base your question in survival or in duality, it puts you in the dead or alive survival mode. It puts you in, I only have two options. That is a very challenging place to try to come from when in having a different relationship to the subject at hand. How do I break the relationship between this and that? Don't believe they're connected. Now, we believe that's what the person intends to ask is, how do I not have equal signs around money? One of the big ways to break equal signs around money, and by equal signs we mean believing that two things are related when all they are is actually facts, is to break it down into facts. What is the fact of money? It's a medium of exchange. The fact of money is a medium of exchange that you have a whole bunch of stories built around. And those stories can be examined one by one. And this question has a really good examples of the stories. One of them is, money sucks, right? That's how it ended. Money sucks. Money is a piece of paper. Money is a piece of paper. So does piece of paper suck? No, piece of paper doesn't suck. So what does suck? Is your relationship to the piece of paper suck? Now we're getting closer to it. So you believe you suck because you're generating a sucky relationship. Now we're there. How do you break the equal sign? Stop thinking you suck. Stop thinking that something's wrong with you because you don't have amounts of pieces of paper that you wish you had. It comes back in this question specifically to your relationship with yourself. We've often said that if you feel like there isn't enough money in your bank account, go out and count the leaves on the trees or the blades of grass in the yard. You'll see that there's abundance around you. Feel into how often you want to take a breath and there's air for you to breathe. That's abundance as well. The idea here being that there's a scarcity of money that you are somehow bad or wrong because you haven't solved the problem of that scarcity. We would say your relationship to scarcity in general about all things needs to be examined, love especially. And one of those ways that's always strong to feel into how to adjust your relationship to scarcity is to go into nature and recognize just how much nature there is. Now, you could very easily say, but that's not money. And we're talking about the fact that energetically, they're the same thing. Air is a medium of exchange, just like money is. Every breath you've breathed, someone else has breathed many times. You're exchanging. Does it pay your rent? Maybe. Maybe someone's figured out how to make that pay their rent. We're not going to say they haven't. But until you are able to be in a relationship with that truth that allows you to know abundance, it's very difficult for abundance to exist in any other place in your life. So many people feel like they've never had financial abundance, and that means they've never experienced abundance. And that is incorrect. You experienced abundance all around you. Starting to recognize the abundance that surrounds you will empower you to energetically lay a strong foundation for financial abundance to be part of your life as well.
How can I clear the preconceived notion that money creates certainty and safety without having to wait to become rich to find out?
What you do is you get on your internet and you search for those people who've won the lottery and you watch some videos about them. That's all you need to do because, you know, you're part of the oneness and a whole bunch of other people have already done it. They've already done it for you. They've already shown you in numbers that have many more zeros than you could ever imagine you actually being able to earn or attract. And see what it has done to their lives. Now, does this mean that winning $50 million is wrong or bad or should be avoided at all costs because your life's going to suck because you suck? No. What it means is the truth of the matter is money is a modicum of exchange. It is not certainty. It is not safety. And your relationship to money in this moment isn't mature enough to have a mature relationship to $50 million. Almost no one's is. That's why so many lottery winners have such a poor experience, and why so many super rich people have to practice at being rich before they're good at it. Just like you have to practice at anything you do before you're good at it. Being rich is something that requires practice as well. A lot of people probably will find that information to be kind of shocking, but the truth is, being rich requires practice. That's why you have this thing called old money and new money. And the old money people look at the new money people and roll their eyes. This is not a TV thing. This is a real thing, because it takes practice to be rich. Is this something you would love to practice? Of course you would. You know how you get there? Step by step. You're already rich in many ways. Are you good at being rich in the ways you're already good at being rich?
How can a woman leave a marriage if she's financially dependent on her husband?
How do you leave your husband when he pays the bills? You have to, again, remember that it's not just money you're exchanging. If you're exchanging fear, if you're exchanging feeling threatened, if you're exchanging feeling uncomfortable in your home, if you're exchanging feeling like you're not safe, those are all exchanges as well. And we've seen so many women who feel threatened and unsafe in an environment with a man say, I can't leave because I don't know how I would pay for it. It's not, I can't leave because I don't know how I would make it on my own, or I can't leave because no one else will love me, or I can't leave for all the reasons that it really is. What they say is, I can't leave because I can't afford it. And what are you doing when you stay? Paying with the other ways you exchange, with your feelings of safety, with your feelings of confidence, with your feelings of pride. This question can apply to so many different people and is not meant to attend to any specific situation someone's in. It's a general energetic discussion. The truth of the matter for us is this. If you can't live as your truth, you need to make new friends, whether that's new partners or new people to go to the movies with or new employers and employees. If you can't live as the truth of you, that's not going to get the job done as far as what you desire as a soul, even as a person, as a personality self. If you're in a marriage where you feel very uncomfortable for various reasons and you're staying because you don't think you can afford it, can you afford to stay is a question we want to ask you energetically, physically, emotionally. Financially is just one of the considerations. Can you afford to stay? You may feel like you can't afford to go, but the question really is, can I afford to stay when I consider all the ways I pay and all the costs involved? Sometimes it's just a matter of perspective. And it's an awareness that you're lumping into money a whole bunch of other stuff. And that's the trouble we see happen with money. We talked about it at the very beginning, is this idea that it becomes something that almost has a personality, that's almost a life force, rather than a medium of exchange, which is what it really is. The life force isn't saying to you, you should do this or you should do that. It's you assigning power to a medium of exchange. Now, your entire society supports you in this, so it's not that you're doing anything unusual. But when you say, I have to stay with an abusive husband because I can't afford to leave, we would ask you to consider what it costs you to stay. Ask for support. Look for help. It's a complicated question that would need to be looked at in individual situations for more specifics. But the idea of what's it costing you to stay needs to be factored in.
And how does that relate to alternate expressions or past lives?
Alternate expressions, which is more commonly referred to as past lives, women more traditionally than now, of course, relied on men for all kinds of support. So a lot of times when you want to reach outside of a relationship you're in, where you're being supported financially and otherwise by a man, it can look very quickly like the threat of alternate expression living, which is, you know, if he doesn't bring home his kill to my fire, I die. Literally, that is what you can be trying to take into the conversation in this current year, is if I don't have his money, I die. The nice thing about the idea of going out and killing something is, you know, you had to like know how to kill something. And in some cases, you had to be big and strong and tall and fast runner to do that in alternate expressions. Nowadays, because you have money, this is one of the nice things about money, is you can do a task that you're suited to and get money for it that you can trade for all kinds of things, rather than have to be good at killing an animal in order to live. So it's an improvement. It's an improvement. So when you feel like you're thinking about leaving any kind of a relationship that doesn't serve you, and you find yourself feeling like I'm going to die if I leave, a lot of times that can be alternate expression energy bleeding through. So you just have to ask yourself, am I really actually that threatened by leaving? Is it actually a matter of life and death? Or is it just big, big change that's intimidating? And it's going to be big, big change, and it's going to be intimidating. That we can guarantee you. There's a cost to staying for some of you that is, the cost of staying is higher than the challenge of leaving.
How can I let go of the guilt I feel when I've had more money than others have?
So many people who don't have a lot of money look at people who do as if they're somehow the boogeyman. They're bad, wrong, they're awful, immoral, corrupt, horrible people. And some of them are, as are some poor people, right? Some poor people are just, this is not a factor of having money. This is a factor of being human. The fact that you hear about the rich people who do these things is what makes it seem like only rich people do. The guilt you have when you have money means that you think that rich people are those kinds of people that you don't want to be, and that maybe I'm going to be one of those people. Or it's victimizing poor people or people you perceive as poor, and saying that you have more than them and that's somehow wrong. I'm wrong because I have money and that person doesn't. And you don't know what that person has, for one, and you don't know what they want, for two, and we could go on. So don't assume what others have or don't have is a reflection of your desire system. It's a reflection of their desire system, their soul path, and their decision making. It doesn't mean you're wrong for having more, because we bet any of those people that has less than you, that you feel guilty about having more than, has something in their life in an abundant way that you don't have. And they probably feel sorry for you too. And we mean that very, very strongly. Veronica loved the story of when she was in Mexico and the whole neighborhood of young kids would come out in the evenings and they would play soccer every night with a 2-liter Coke bottle that was empty. Now, she could have pitied them for not having a real soccer ball. Who's to say they prefer a soccer ball? Who's to say they've ever seen one? Who's to say they know that they have a lack? They seemed pretty happy to her every night, 40 of them together all the time, growing, becoming men together, loving each other with an empty soda bottle. You have to be really careful that you don't put your money issues, and we'll call it issues in this case, your money issues, you don't project them on to other people. Most people have plenty of their own. Now, that said, if you feel drawn to use your money in ways that support people who are asking for help, that's a whole different matter. And if you feel guilty if you don't, that's something you have to look at. Why? Why do you feel guilty that you don't help people who ask for it? You have to take care of yourself first. Oh God, but then I have more than I should have to take care of. Really? You have more air than you need as well. Does that make you wrong? Now there's a line, and you'll find it. And some people, that line is $7 billion. Till they have $7 billion, they're not giving a penny to anybody else. And some people, it's 70 cents. You will find when you are balanced and straight in yourself about what money means to you and how you use it, how you can work with the people who've asked for help that you encounter in a way that honors both of you, that offers both of you the needs met that you're looking for, and encourages the other person to find their own balance that doesn't require asking for help all the time. Most people aren't very comfortable asking for help and don't want to have to continue doing so. Most people. Some people, hey, you know, everybody wants to learn something. But most people want to be able to take care of themselves and help others. It's amazing, actually.
I see rich people that are stupid, lazy, or mean. Yet I believe money comes when I'm good, smart, and hardworking.
Equal signs between the people you see. Again, there are loads and loads and loads of people with loads and loads and loads of money that you never hear about because they use their money in a way that doesn't get them on the front page of the newspaper in negative stories. And, you know, when's the last time you heard the front page of the newspaper with lots of positive stories, especially about rich people? The newspaper, the media is covered with people using, fueled by drama. And those people who are balanced in their monetary use aren't drama people. So you have to be really, really cautious that you don't just assume that anybody with money sucks. And that anybody that doesn't have money sucks. And that everybody sucks. Which is kind of what this question leads to, is there's no way out of suckage. And it's really hard for us. Because we don't see suckage when we look at all of you. What we see is amazing. And it's very difficult to look out into the world of your journey and see you choosing for I suck so frequently. And to point at somebody who's different than you and decide they suck. Or that because you don't have what they have, that you suck. Why are you choosing for I suck? Why are you looking for I suck? Part of it is the equal sign. The equal sign is more interesting to us in this question is the equal sign between if I had money, I would be happy. And I've done all the things I should do to be rich, and I'm not happy. And if I had money, I would be happy. Therefore, I suck because I don't have money. And the people who do have money that aren't using it in ways I think I would suck or are immoral or whatever, whatever, whatever. And the truth of the matter, it comes down all the time to your personal relationship with yourself and the abundance you have in your life that you're not noticing or that you're ignoring in order to focus on a place that you can clearly say you suck because you don't have enough money in the bank to pay the bills. You're looking for a place to beat yourself up. And that's a really great place because no one will argue with you. If you don't have enough money to pay your bills, the creditors will call, the landlord will call, whomever you owe money to will call. You'll feel shame if you share the stories with your friends. They'll say, oh, or they'll say, yeah, that mean person with money who owns your house is giving you crap because you haven't paid your rent. They're mean because they're rich. Right? You can get all kinds of agreement about the fact that the person with the money is wrong and you're not wrong, but then you go to, I suck because I can't be the rich person who has money who's wrong. There's no winning. And when you put yourself in a situation with no winning, we call it familiar suffering. And you will continue to familiar suffering until you make a choice out of it. And that's why we talk about the choice for consciousness and we give you so many tools because we're trying to help you step by step your way out of the habitual experience of I suck and I'm going to prove it to myself by finding reasons I suck. The same folks who will say, I suck because I don't have enough money, will suck because they don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They'll suck because they don't have the right kind of hairdo. They'll suck because they don't weigh the right number of pounds. They'll suck because their car isn't the right kind of car. You'll find anything to justify suckage. It just happens to be that money is the most common one because everybody's got some. Using money to prove that you suck, not very creative. If you have to convince yourself that you suck, suck for some other reason. So at least then you've had to be conscious about thinking about it, rather than just using the old, old standby of the amount of money you have in your bank account. It's really hard to change something that you are convinced is awful. So it's really hard to attract money to you when you're convinced money is the only, it's the plaything of the rich, and they suck when they use it. And I suck when I don't have. We just This question just makes us go circle, 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 circle around some more, circle back around. There's no getting off of it. It's a Mobius strip question. It's a Mobius strip question. So if you find yourself on the Mobius strip of this kind of thinking, you have to say, I refuse. I refuse to live in the Mobius strip. I refuse. I'm going to find abundance around me. In the ways that we discussed earlier, I'm going to go out and breathe some air. I'm going to count the trees. I'm going to count the leaves on the grass. And I'm going to find myself a way to see abundance that's not financially based and then build on that. An abundant mindset does not come simply from your bank account. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, some of the people who have a lot of money don't feel any more abundant than you. Abundance is not based on the numbers in your bank account. Abundance is based on looking into your world and feeling supported. Money can make you feel supported, but it also scares the crap out of you. Not a very good support to put your I need to feel supported on. What else makes you feel supported in your journey? Cooking good food. Moving your body around, the love of people and animals in your life. What else makes you feel supported? When you lump it all on money, it's like when you're in a relationship and you lump all of your emotional, entertainment, companionship needs on your partner. You guys know how well that turns out. Oh, no, honey, you can't go out with the boys. You have to spend tonight with me. I need you. You know how long that works, right? It's no good. It's the same thing by lumping all of your I need to feel safe, supported, certain, and sure needs on money. No amount of money is enough for you to feel that way. You think there might be a number, but you watch people who have big numbers in their bank account, some of them that you know about because you see them publicly, because those are the ones who hit the news. How much is enough? I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet, is how they answer that question. They're telling the truth. And whatever number you're working with, it's the same answer. How much is enough for you? I don't know. I haven't gotten there yet. That's the honest answer to that. Or preferably to say, money's not where I find my safety and security. It's my relationship to myself, my relationship to my soul, and walking in the world by looking around and knowing it's all here for me to grow from. That way, if your bank account gets drained and your house washes away and your car floats down the stream in a flood and you're all by yourself, you still can feel safe. You still can feel supported. You still can feel abundant. You really can. That's not impossible. We teach how to do that, and we've seen it happen.
How can I overcome feeling triggered when a family member shares their fear of lack of money?
Because in this example, you're matching energy with them rather than asking them to match energy with you. Real careful here. Somebody says to you, "Oh, I don't have a lot of money," and as the question illustrates, you reply with, "Oh, maybe I don't have enough money." Instead of replying with, "You know, I felt that way too in the past, And in this moment, I don't feel that way. Now, underburied in this question is, I should give them my money. That I should give them my money because most of the time when people get into I should give them my money place, it's because they're not comfortable with the amount of money they have because they don't feel they deserve it. They feel like they're stepping on someone to have, right? If I have, that means someone has not. That's where you got to be really careful. That's not the definition of abundance, right? The idea that all boats rise on the tide. Yeah. And you don't know if that person really, truly sees it as their sole growth to have as much money as you have. You cannot know that. And to make those assumptions is not supportive to anyone's growth. So the journey here is to speak your truth, what is true now. Have compassion for the fact that you've been where they are. And allow yourself to not decide what is preferable for them. Let's use an extreme example. Somebody, a family member, you're finally feeling good financially. Right? You feel like you paid your bills and you're feeling like, oh, I might even go on vacation this year. And a family member says, oh my God, I can't pay my rent. You think, oh, maybe I'm supposed to pay the rent for them. Oh my God, maybe that's really not enough money in the bank. Oh, maybe I shouldn't spend my money on vacation because you're matching energy with them. And if you say, what's really true for me? What's really true for me is I'm feeling good about my financial picture. Then here it comes. They say, can you pay my rent for me? That's the moment of truth. The decision you make at that point has to be based on how you feel about yourself, not how you project you would feel in their situation. It's not, well, God, if I really need my rent, I would want somebody to pay it for me. And maybe this person would be the person I should pay it. Make myself feel better. Just short circuit the discomfort you're feeling. Instead to say, can I, out of abundance, true abundance, not just because I happen to have an extra 50 in my bank account this month, but true abundance, can I give this money? Loaning is always questionable because you never know if you're going to get it back. So you should think you're giving when you loan. You can set up it as a loan, but if you can't afford to give it, you shouldn't loan it. Can I afford to give this money? And by afford, we mean energetically afford it. Because if you've just gotten to a point where you feel a little sense of like, I have my financial picture dialed in, and you start giving the money away, then you're just going to go back into familiar suffering, and then there'll be two of you in that position instead of just one. How can you empower that person? Sometimes the empowerment can simply be, you know, I've just finally gotten my feet under myself, so I know exactly how you feel. It may not be, yes, I'll get you out of this jam you're in. It may be, I know how you feel. Sometimes people, what they want is the abundance of knowing they weren't alone in the story rather than the abundance of dollars in their bank account. Sometimes people just want to have someone listen to them, talk to them, show them that moment of time of compassion, not fix the problem. You have this thing, Jesus said it, right? The teach the man to fish. Give him a fish, he'll eat for the day. Teach him to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. There's a lot of wisdom in that. What are you teaching? You're teaching that you too have felt that insecurity and you're letting yourself have an opportunity to feel differently about it now. And you're not going to throw yourself right back into that insecurity by helping someone out of a sense of non-abundance. It's tricky. We're not saying this is easy. But nothing you really do that really causes growth in you is super easy anyway. Climbing a mountain, learning to play an instrument. They all require an effort from you.
How can I discover any beliefs that might be causing me to push money away?
This is a fun one to use a tool on. Get yourself whatever denomination of your money that feels comfortable. So here in America, they have ones and fives and tens and fifties. Oh, twenties. Ones and fives, tens and twenties, fifties and hundreds. That's what they have. So whatever your equivalent currency is, pick yourself out whatever one of those that feels comfortable to you, and put it someplace in your house that you have to deal with a lot. On your dresser, on the kitchen counter, not like on the fridge, right? This is a place where you have to interact with it, where you might have to move it around to use that space. On the bathroom sink would be an interesting place to put it. And then interact with it. Interact with it. Pick it up and move it when you're dusting. Pick it up and move it when you have to make your dinner. Pick it up and move it when you have to brush your teeth or wash your face. And feel into what you experience as you do that. Is money dirty? Is it nasty? Are you afraid to have it on your kitchen counter with your food? Do you let it get dusty and do you throw your dirty underwear on top of it on your dresser? In the bathroom, has it fallen off on the floor and you don't care? Did it get in the sink and get wet? How did you treat it? How did you feel about it? And it will reveal to you how you actually feel about money. And it will give you insight. Now, you might want to start off with a fiver and work your way up. Or maybe you start off with 100 and see how that does it. You might be more precious with an 100, but not so precious with a 5. Experiment. Let yourself see what happens as you interact with your currency. How do you really feel about it? How do you really feel about it? And if you feel like, well, I feel like I don't have enough, dig a little deeper. I don't have enough is a cop-out at this point. It's a cop-out, especially in this exercise. Because you can, there's more to learn. You've learned that over and over and over and over again. It'd be like taking the same class every single day of your life, right? You've learned that you believe you don't have enough. Okay, good. Got it. No problem. Now what? Let's learn something else. Some of you are going to go, ew, I don't want that dirty money on my kitchen counter. Uh-huh. Or if I leave a $100 bill out on the counter, someone's going to take it. Ooh, that's a good to know. Or I'm ashamed of that having a $100 bill. I'm ashamed that I have $100 I can just leave laying around. Really? Okay. And through this process, you can use the notebook tool to write down what you realize. So start off with, on this date, I had a $5 bill on the kitchen counter, and this is how I related to it, and this is what happened to it, and this is the experience I had. And maybe after a day or two or 10, whatever works for you, you ask yourself, okay, what do I feel about it now? And then go get yourself a shiny new $10 bill or a ripped up $10 bill or whatever. Put that on the kitchen counter and see what happens. Now, those of you who have access to other currencies, if you're in America and you use dollars, but you have some euros laying around, lay around a euro or a 20 euro, which is, you know, more than $20. See if you have a different relationship to it because, oh, that's money too. Hate to break it to you, but surprise, that's actually money. Just because it looks like it's from Monopoly or something, it's still money. See if you have a different relationship to it because it's not your money, even though it's real money and you could probably go to the bank and get it turned into your money. Let the truth of your relationship with money come up from the surface and don't settle with, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, because you already know that you feel that way. A lot of times when you just learn what it is that you feel about money, it will stop controlling you. Because it's unconscious. Like in the example, if someone puts a $20 bill on their kitchen counter and they walk past it 3 days in a row and every time they look at it, they think it's dirty, germy, other people's hands have touched it. It's really hard to attract money into your life if you think it's dirty and germy and have a problem with the fact that other people have touched it. So if you work out in yourself, and that's an individual thing, how to have a different relationship to the fact that you have perceived it that way, it may just stop feeling that way once you notice it. Or every time you walk past that $100 bill, you think, look at me, I'm a stuck up so-to-so because I have $100 just laying around when that could be feeding somebody tonight. Wow. So I can't even have $100 laying around without feeling like I'm a bad person? Ooh, that's good to know. Right? It's just what you discover. And since that's such an individuated thing, it's hard to make broad statements about it beyond the fact that what we've seen happen with this tool is that people go, I didn't know I felt that way. And when they didn't know they felt that way, and now they know how they feel, they can make decisions about how they feel now. And again, they can say, oh my God, that's my mother's voice. You know, my authority figure voice oftentimes has told you how you should feel about money. And it's not necessarily your opinion, it's an authority figure's voice. Yeah, so feeds into all our other tools.
Why do many have a hard time charging for spiritual work, and how can this be cleared?
So you're perfectly happy to charge for a job you hate, but you're not happy to charge for a job you love. That's one of the main statics. Is I would go to a job that I don't like, I would suffer all day long for a boss I can't respect, and I would take money for that and find that okay, no problem. I will take money for suffering. But to take money for a job where I feel like I'm following my heart's desire, that I'm facilitating my spiritual journey, that I'm adding to the higher vibrational energy in the world, that no, can't charge for that. It's just another one of these things that people have an assumption built in that sometimes when they look at it, they go, that didn't make sense, did it? Whereas before, it always did because it's never been questioned. It's never been questioned. And the idea that you shouldn't charge for spiritual information or spiritual work, but you can charge for suffering, is one that needs to go. It just needs to go. You'll pay me if I'm suffering, but you won't pay me if I'm sharing my spiritual wisdom, knowledge, gifts. It needs to go on both sides of the equation. Because some people will say, you can't charge for spirit because it's infinite or something like this. Okay. If you don't wish to pay someone else to give you a reading, to give you a healing, to give you whatever kind of spiritual work, go and get it for free yourself. If you need an intermediary who's done some work and is able to facilitate that connection, that person needs to eat. Would you rather them take those gifts and go suffer in some other kind of job in order to eat and not give you those gifts? No, you want that person to be able to eat, and you want that person to be sharing their gifts. Now, if you're the person who's doing that thing, you just have to take that moment to say, yeah, I would charge. I'd be perfectly comfortable charging to suffer, but I'm not comfortable charging to soar. It's just one of those things that typically we've seen with people. They go, oh, it's one of those oh things. And other people's beliefs about whether or not you should charge for your services need to be left with them. Because other people, you don't want to match energy with the people who have monetary issues of their own. Do not match energy with those people. Ask what is true now. I need to eat. I do healings for a living. I do healings, and I'd rather do healings and help as I can to increase the vibration of the planet and offer support to people based on the journey I've had than go into some kind of an office job or other kind of sales position or whatever else I might do and suffer in order to live. It's a very straightforward solution to us. Maybe not to everybody else. We hope it is, because it really feels like it has that energy of, oh.
How can I steward my funds toward their best use without buying into lack?
If you're not gonna, who's gonna? This is another one of those oh answers. You've got available funds. If it's a penny or $100 million, be high vibrational, meaning conscious about how you use it, spend it, loan it, give it, throw it in the garbage can, dump it off a 50-story building, whatever it is you choose to do with it. Be conscious, whether it's a penny or $100 million. It's not that once you get money, you learn how to be good at having money. You learn how to have money along the way. As we said earlier, being rich takes practice. So does having $50,000. So does having $150,000. They take practice. New income levels take practice. They really do. And as you steward your money, as you steward your money, it's like stewarding your energy, stewarding your image, emanation, stewarding all the choices you make. They're all the same. What is true now? Being conscious, being high vibrational, offering the most connection to insight you have in the relationship. And all of those things take attention. But if you single out money with all the baggage that's associated with it and imagine that it's only when you have money you'll have this problem to sort out, it makes it challenging to attract money to you because you've got a bunch of baggage in the way of even having the money. Well, when I have money, I'll figure out how to have money. And until I have money, I don't have to. No. I have $1.98. I have $198. I have $10,098. All of those states may feel different because they're new, but the way you interact with them is the same. You bring your truth to it. You bring your truth to it, regardless of the amount.
How can I stop wasting money on people or projects that are bottomless pits but come across as a good cause?
What is a good cause? Are you giving from your abundance or are you giving from your guilt? Are you giving from your somebody in authority told you you should? What are you giving from? What are you giving from? And how do you avoid all those things? You got to make sure that what you're giving is something you can give and not miss. Can I give this and not miss it? That's a real good way to ask yourself. Can I give and not miss this money, this time, this energy? Sometimes people really fall for the idea that it's appropriate to be of service to others without being of support to themselves first. And we've never seen that work out well. You be of support to yourself, and then you give from your abundance, whether it's time, energy, money, underwear, we don't care what it is. You give from your abundance, and then that's a true gift. If you give from your sort of, I might have extra this month, but who knows what's going to happen after that, and oh God, I remember being really poor, and it scares me to think about, but you're poor now, so I should probably give you money right now because, oh God, I feel guilty for not being poor anymore. Place. You just see how that just doesn't go well. And it really doesn't.
Is it better to focus on what I desire rather than trying to manifest money?
Yes. Because someone might just give it to you and you might not even need money. Money is a medium of exchange. So is trade. So is barter, right? That's why you have the barter system is people go, ooh, I don't want to use ugly money. I'll just give you this instead. Some people have a better relationship to barter, but a lot of people go to barter because they think money's evil. So you got to be really careful about that too. Oh, I won't charge for my psychic reading. I will trade with you. Yeah. So you have to be really careful that you don't go into barter thinking that it avoids the evilness of money. That's one thing. However, you don't want to assume that money's the only way you're going to get your needs met either. It could just instantaneously manifest after all. And the nice thing is when you're focused on something you want, then you can learn why you want it rather than just wanting money, which is very general. So let's say you want a new gizmo. You know, you guys have all these electronic gizmos, something to carry around that does something, talks to people or plays music or shows you a book or whatever. They call these tablets, right? That's what they call it. Let's say you want a tablet, a non-branded tablet. We won't use a brand name. Tablet. And you're like, I want one of those tablets. They're cool. I saw the commercial on TV. Now, they cost around $500. So you could also be saying, I want $500. With the thing in the back of your mind saying, because I want to buy a tablet, right? So if you focus on, I want a tablet, then you say to yourself, why? Why do I want a tablet? Now, here's where you have to be really careful. It's perfectly okay to say, cuz, just cuz I want one. We would like you to go further than that, but we are not telling you that you should deny the fact that you want a tablet just because you do. But that is a nice entry point. Because why? Because I want to read my books on the thing instead of going to the library. Okay. Because why else? Because then I can get my email. Okay. Because why else? Because everybody else has one. Ooh, good to know. Okay. Everybody else seems to have one, so that's a reasonable thing. Because I want to have something nice for me. Ooh, because you're loving yourself. You want to have a tablet because you're loving on yourself. We like that. There's lots and lots and lots and lots of ways and reasons that this is interesting to you. And all of them are fascinating to us, and all of them can be fascinating to you. And you can know in the back of your head, you know, a tablet costs $500. I don't have $500 extra. I don't see $500 extra coming in anytime soon. If I have preconceived notions about it, I'm never going to have a tablet. Okay. How about instead it's, I could really use one of those tablet thingies. And then you go into fascination about how it may enter your life. Not go into preconceived notions about, oh, well, somebody might give it to me. Somebody might do this. No. Fascination. I will sit in fascination about how it enters my life or how that desire in me shifts as I explore it. All of that is far more interesting to us than going, I want $500. I want $500. I want $500. And there's no overtime available at work, so I probably can't get it. It's exhausting to just even think about. But that's typically what people do. So it's real helpful. You know, you have this idea, this tool called vision boarding, right? Where you put pictures of all the things you want. That's one of the ways to do it. But don't stop there. If you have a picture of something you want, you need to know why. And then you need to see where you judge yourself for how you want it. That's the thing. How do you think you suck because you want it? Oh, I'm becoming materialistic and acting like a rich person because I want a Corvette. Okay. That's something good to know about yourself, right? Just keep learning about yourself. That's the path of consciousness. That's growth. That's why you're here. That's what you're doing in the body in the first place, is keep learning about yourself. And what we've seen happen with people is when they do that process, they realize what they really want is different than what they thought they wanted. And then it may cost less, it may cost more, they may not cost a penny. But if you focus on the medium of exchange rather than the thing you actually want, there's lots of ways to get that tablet. Beg, borrow, steal, pay, trade, could fall out of the ground, out of the sky onto your lap. Somebody could just, you know, like give you one for no reason at all. There's lots of ways it could come to you. One of the ways is to go down to the bank, get out some money, and hand it to the guy at the sales counter. That's one of the ways. Focusing on wanting the money kind of narrows the field of possibilities.
Why do we as a collective consciousness seem to have a block around changing the money system?
It's always interesting when people start a question off, why do we? We're real big fans of I statements. When you have something like this, you better phrase it as an I question, because that's when there's going to be real powerful change. Because when you're looking over there at other people deciding how they're behaving, how much money they have, how much money they should have, how they spend it, how they don't spend it, that they're you know what's and so forth because of whatever they do, what about you? What about the only place where any change ever happens in the first place, which is the moment? What about what's going on with you? What is your judgment about the collective consciousness around money and the made-up system that you can't change, or whatever that question was? Hello, you. What is your relationship to money? Change it into a healthy, high vibrational conscious pattern, and you'll be making the difference that you'd like to see in other people. But until you do it for yourself, how can other people do it? Be the one who starts the trend. Emanate the choice. Make the difference that you want to be. Make the difference that you want to see. Be the difference you want to see. Just keep switching the words around six or seven or eight different ways to say, hey, it's all about you. It's all about you. You. Hello. You. Yeah, you. You get to make that change. You get to make the change you want to see in the world. And then you emanate it. You don't get out there and say, hey, everybody, be like me. Because everybody's not like you. Everybody's different. And you don't know what they think about the money system anyway. But you know what you think about the money system. You know your judgments about it. You know your discomforts about it. And you know your preferences about it. So make sure that your life and your money system and your relationship to it is straight. And then emanate that into the world and see things shift. It's the only way we've ever seen change happen. So the money mantra that we have, I am in financial flow and money comes to me in infinite ways. So important. Money comes to me in infinite ways. When you have a belief that the only way money comes to you is if you get a paycheck, that's the way money's going to come to you. And if you find a quarter on the ground or 10 cents in the laundry or a dollar blowing past you in the breeze, don't take that as like, oh, just something small. Grab a hold of it and acknowledge money just came to me in an infinite way, so that you start opening up the pathways, the energetic pathways for money to flow to you in ways unexpected. I am in financial flow and money comes to me in infinite ways. And then see what you add on to that. Because we hear not, it doesn't, it hasn't, it won't, I still can't pay my bills. You got to really watch that. I am in financial flow and money comes to me in infinite ways, period, full stop. And then you see what wants to come up in you. And you say, I'm tempted to think that's a lie. I'm tempted to believe that hasn't happened. I'm tempted to believe it doesn't happen to anybody like me. I'm tempted to believe it only happens to people who are already rich. Whatever your temptation is to believe around that, look into that. Examine it. The thing about money is that it's just a medium of exchange. And because it's just a medium of exchange, it doesn't have near the power that you think it does over you. It can purchase things in the world. It can move goods and services throughout the world. Yes, when you have it and you use it in certain ways, you can see it emanate into a change. But of itself, by itself, sitting in a warehouse, it just sits there. It just sits in banks. It just sits there. It's just paper. It's just coins. It's just bullion. It just sits there. It's your story that you put on it that generates it being anything. So make sure that whatever story you're putting on it, whatever emanation you're attaching to it, whatever beliefs you have around it are the kind of beliefs that you want to have moving in the world. That's your responsibility, is to make the beliefs you have about money, recognizing they go off into the world with the money. What do you want them to be? What are they in you? Knowing them. When you spend money, when you hand it to somebody, what do you feel? Another one that we have is when you wake up in the morning or you go to bed at night or you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you're paranoid about your financial picture. Ask yourself, do I have a bill to pay right now? Is there a bill? Am I writing a check right now? No. Am I handing someone money right now? No. I'm lying in my bed. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Then why am I choosing this moment to think about money? No one's asking me for any right now. Now, they might be calling you in the morning, but to give over this moment when you could be receiving insight about your situation to, I can't, there isn't, or I can't, lack. Where's new information going to come into you if you're constantly obsessing about something you already know? I don't have my money for my rent. I don't have my money for my rent. You already know that. You actually knew it the first time you said it to yourself. If you use the next 2 weeks to think that thought, the chances are new thoughts coming in become slimmer and slimmer. That's discipline. Do I already know this? Yes, I already know this. Why am I thinking about it right now? Familiar suffering, habit, fear-based operating system, survival instinct. Okay, all of those things are low vibrational. All of those things are unconscious. What is the conscious way to look at it? I would like this to change. I'm open to insight. I'm going to go out into nature and study abundance so I can feel abundant in myself on some level. I'm going to recognize that money comes to me in infinite ways, even if I don't know what those infinite ways are. Yeah, don't use your brain to tell you what infinity is. Don't work. And allow yourself space between obsessive thoughts where new thoughts might actually get some space in there. Those are the things we've seen work. Actually work. Follow what fascinates you. Allow for fascination. See when you're in familiar suffering. Catch yourself. Go step by step out of it by saying, what is fascinating in this moment? If you can't find anything else to be fascinated about, be fascinated about the fact that when you swallow, the spit goes down your throat. Wow, check that out. When you breathe, your chest expands. Whoa, check that out. Then look around and be fascinated about something else. There's so much to be fascinated about. Every little thing is fascinating. Fascination puts you in a high vibrational state. High vibrational state makes you magnetic toward other high vibrational states, which is your needs being met and new experiences being had, which is what you want money to give you.